And welcome to Stop the Presses. Here on Monday, the 28th of October, 2019. And we're doing a special thing today. I am joined by constitutionalist Pastor Jason Mangum, a rare find these days, shooting a special episode of Stop the Presses in conjunction with our news enterprise, which Jason and I call World Impact News. And as this audio is being heard, we're also shooting video. And so a video version of this radio show today with audio and video will soon be available on, I'm hearing 7 going on 10 different podcast platforms soon, plus on YouTube. So we're trying to be very innovative and bring RBN radio shows such as mine to YouTube and to various podcast platforms. And I'll have Jason outline that podcast platforms a little bit and how that works.
Yeah, that's right, Mark. And great to be here today and always do this collaboration. You know, it's about getting the word out. And so we are on 10 different podcast platforms. So go check us out on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Radio Republic. There's so many different, or I think it's called Republic Radio. I can't remember, but we're on these different platforms, even on Anchor. And so you can go and download those apps for your phone, or you can go right off the web and go to them, like using iTunes and things. Search World Impact News, and we'll come right up, and you can listen to everything out there that we discuss.
Fantastic, Jason. So those listening and watching, as we merge these technologies together, can take this all into account. And today for our radio topic, which of course is also going to become podcast and the YouTube video under the Stop the Presses / World Impact News banner, the topic today is to assess the presidency of Donald Trump in terms of recent foreign policy developments in particular. And so what Jason and I were talking about off the air, and now we're going to bring to you listeners live and on the archive today, is that what the mainstream media does, and oftentimes many in the alternative media also do, Jason, we've seen this,
right,
is jump to conclusions about President Trump's decisions. They take it at face value. They make a snap decision on what they think of it. If he, for instance, takes out this recent terrorist, as he announced, many will automatically conclude that he's not really reducing the military footprint in, let's say, Syria or the Middle East in general, like he announced early in his presidency, like he even talked about before he was elected. They'll say, see, he really is an interventionist. See, he really believes we are the world's policeman, even though he has spoken opposite to that and proclaimed that we should not be the world's policeman. So many in the alternative and mainstream media will claim that he's going back on his word. However, what we're saying today, again, to reiterate, ladies and gentlemen, is the three words that work best with President Trump's administration is not so fast. Those three words. You have to give time. You may not agree with the outcome, but you have to give time to know what the outcome actually is. And so you have to let the chips fall where they may. You have to see how things crunch out. You have to see what his strategy might be. And so with the latest thing where the terrorist leader, we're told he was a very pivotal ISIS leader.
Right.
His name always escapes me.
Al-Baghdadi.
Yeah, that's it. These are always tough names. Hasn't been sober, right? What are we going to call him? But al-Baghdadi, and then before that, President Trump said that he was pulling many of our troops out of Syria. He talked about the multi-trillion dollars that these Middle East misadventures have cost us in this full-bore interventionism under George W. Bush and under Barack Obama, two New World Order bookends, one Republican, one Democrat. And he's talked about the huge human costs. He's talked about the human costs on the other side, too. He did not stomp on the graves of those that died that were our so-called enemies. He said it's tragic what happened on the other side, too. He's talked about many things. He's pulled many troops out. But what he did do was he sent in a tank and armored contingent to sequester the oil in Syria. I believe it's northeast Syria. And what I'm seeing, Jason, is that was done for purposes of not allowing ISIS, which is thought to have been MI6 and CIA and possibly even Mossad-backed at various times since 2011, when ISIS and other so-called freedom fighters were trying to take down Bashar al-Assad, the head of Syria. We're seeing that those factions have been largely vanquished. Russia helped in that too. Trump got Russia to work on our side, even though they're an ally of Syria.
Right.
A couple of years ago, Russia helped take out ISIS factions. And so what apparently President Trump has done, and you and I have read this very carefully, is he's largely helped vanquish this intel-backed ISIS insurgency. And then he has sent these tanks in very recently to protect that oil, as we're understanding it so far, so the oil profits don't help ISIS revive themselves.
Right.
And it takes a while to discern these things. I've seen other news outlets say, oh, he's sending tanks in. He's not really pulling the troops out. But what you and I are saying is we might not have all the answers, but we're saying not so fast. Take time to read this. Read it carefully. Don't jump to conclusions like most of the mainstream media and sometimes in the alternative media. Your comments?
Right. Well, I think that's what happens is you see, even from the very beginning and get-go, even before President Trump was elected, our duly elected president, and we saw this even previous to this, where he had no foreign policy experience. You know, he was under attack. Well, how is he going to handle security? How is he going to handle the military? He doesn't have experience in those areas. But one thing we got to realize about President Trump is he's a very intelligent man, and he is an international businessman. So he knows about negotiating. He knows about handling things. And I believe that's kind of what we see. The other thing I want to point out is that you have to understand, or people have to understand, is they think that he acts or reacts to things very quickly, off the cuff. Well, I'm not speaking for him, but we do see that. But I think we've got to look at he has the intel now to be able to make decisive decisions like that. So in just kind of laying out what we're seeing, even in these recent days where they took out the head of ISIS, this terrorist. But I believe, just like we were talking before the show, Mark, is he's this mediator. You know, he's able to actually go in and do some things in countries that have never been done before. And so, but regardless, we see this quick to judge, quick to we got to respond to this, and the media feels they are the leading authority on this, when no matter what Trump does, it seems to me it's going to be wrong, regardless of how it started or how the outcome is. So, but we do see, I believe, him doing some very strategic things that weren't necessarily done before. You know, at least he is in taking actions. And so, like the whole, let's get down to Syria and pulling troops out. And then they want to say, well, he wasn't pulling the troops out. He's actually putting troops more in. He's doing, well, there were still some things that needed to be taken care of. For instance, this ISIS leader needed to be dealt with. And so, I always believe that America is, and our president should, that should be one of the first things, is securing this nation and the security of the people that live here. But I believe, too, is we're not necessarily the policing, using our military to go around, and because the globalists have done it for years, decades. They've used America as a strong arm for their agenda. And I believe that's where you see Trump doing some things differently.
And I would speak up there. That is, Bill. This is the thing. This is a really key point, that I'm going to still reserve judgment on whether I completely agree with what President Trump did with al-Baghdadi or with Syria. But what I am going to say, and I'm leaning toward agreeing with it, one aspect that I like about it, even if I don't like the whole thing, because I always take time to try and get all the facts, is that this was an American decision. This was not the UN Security Council sending us in Operation Desert Shield, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. This was not the UN Security Council sending us in for shock and awe in 2003 in March, when we simply bombed Baghdad with hither and yon without really any real purpose to what we were doing. Hence the quagmire that became Iraq. And so what I do see here is a vindication of what Notre Dame political science professor Michael Desch said at a Chicago Council of Global Affairs meeting that I attended in October of 2017, 2 years ago. He said, and he told the globalists there at this Chicago version of the CFR, he said, "You guys, you're implying that because Trump is not a full-bore interventionist, that he must be a full-bore isolationist." Michael Desch said he's neither. He's what's called a Jacksonian. And Jacksonian, evidently a reference to President Andrew Jackson, a Jacksonian is someone who leans toward non-interventionism. They certainly aren't a full-bore interventionist, but they choose their battles wisely, and the choices they make are their own to make.
Right.
And so what President Trump is doing, and we can judge later, historians can certainly judge on all the nuance, what's good, what's bad, what's neutral. What he's doing is reasserting America's ability to chart its own destiny.
Yes.
To decide its own affairs. If we're going to use the military, we decide. It's not a UN thing. You see, this is the thing. So you don't have to like it all.
Right.
But you have to understand it. Like Mark Twain said, don't spout off your opinions till you have the facts, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for the facts. We're seeing that he's pulling us out of Syria so that doesn't become another Iraq, Afghanistan, post 9/11, endless multi-trillion dollar quagmire where nobody wins, everybody loses.
Yeah.
Blood and treasure lost on both sides. Instead, he pulls many troops out, gets them out of harm's way, lets Turkey and Syria, lo and behold, decide their own affairs, sends an envoy, our Vice President Mike Pence, to Turkey to try and, what do sovereign nations do? They don't just use their military, they use soft power, that's called diplomacy, hello?
Right.
Right?
Such a thing exists still, Mark.
Yes.
Well, or should.
When Hillary Clinton was head of the State Department, how was that diplomacy? I digress, but I don't understand. Yeah. But this is the thing that I want to really stress to those listening live and on the archive and watching, is that we're seeing a reassertion of American sovereignty here. Not really a betrayal of Trump's pledge to be far less interventionist, far more America first.
Right.
He really is far more America first, but you can't pull out of the world altogether. You have to pull back a little bit. You still have loose ends. You still have battles you have to fight. You still have business that needs tending to. And this is what I see as a big plus. And you were saying something about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. You made a really good point. What was that earlier?
Yeah, well, actually, one of the things that I was very happy to see with President Trump is he did not inform Congress, and especially Nancy Pelosi, and kind of kept that close to the chest, you know, why they were going to go in to make this strike. Otherwise, this terrorist probably would have gotten away. It would have been leaked, or it would have been added to the impeachment record. I mean, they just, everything that he does, he seems like right now, at least to the media and to the left, he cannot do anything right, you know, and that's how they're treating him. But you make an excellent point, Mark, which I hope that the listeners really catch and grab a hold of this, is that President Trump is probably one of the first presidents to actually take action without pressure from the UN, pressure from NATO and the allies, but actually did something as what he was elected to do as a leader of the United States. And so I hope that the listeners really grab a hold of that to see how this president, regardless if you love him or you hate him, regardless of what you know, like Mark was saying, maybe the outcome, you don't necessarily like the outcome, but at least he's making decisions without outside pressure, without outside influence to actually do things for America for once. So if anything that some, you know, that the listeners take away today, I hope that they would see that.
I like what you said there, Jason, for America,
yes.
For a change, for America, for once.
Yes.
And so we can't put our constitutionalist order back together unless we're calling the shots. And President Trump's best accomplishment, and I think we can all agree with this, no matter who we are, especially in the broad opinions that are represented in the alternative media.
Right.
He has made criticism of the mass media cartel, what we used to call the mainstream or lamestream media. He has made that a household thing.
Yes, absolutely.
It is now stylish. It is now customary to say CNN, even sometimes Fox during the day. I mean, Fox is a mixed bag. Certainly CBS, NBC, MSNBC. You look at it and it's like a V for Vendetta, the movie about the rebel movement, the 5th
right.
of November, about the UK. People were watching the British TV and they were going, bollocks. I just don't believe a word they say anymore.
Yeah.
And one woman goes, I can tell when that news anchor's lying because she always closes her eyes too much or something to that effect. But we need to get to that point,
right.
And we're getting to that point, thanks to President Trump, that we're now seeing many Americans look at the mainstream media skeptically, like, really? Come on. I don't buy that dribble anymore. Yeah, Anderson Cooper, you know, is just a Vanderbilt anyway,
right.
Out of the wealthy, privileged families, out of the peerage, as they say.
Yeah.
And so that's Trump's most enduring, widespread, fire on all cylinders accomplishment. But now what we're seeing, and again, our point today is you have to look carefully. What we're seeing is a reassertion of an American foreign policy, not an internationalist foreign policy, that might look contradictory. And granted, we don't have all the facts at our fingertips yet, but I believe we're reading this right so far. I want to put this out there to get people to think. We don't have all the answers. We want listeners and viewers to think for themselves. The mass media cartel wants you to just believe what they tell you. We don't. We want to put everything on the table and get everyone thinking and making sound judgments. That's what President Trump, I believe, wants. He wants an informed populace.
Right.
That's why he had that alternative media summit at the White House not long ago. I didn't care for all the participants necessarily. Too bad you and I weren't there.
Right.
But at least he had the idea that there are other media besides these alphabet soup, ABC, NBC, CBS.
Exactly.
And got him in there and said, I recognize you guys are reporters too. You have a job to do. And my understanding is my friend Gary Franchi, that I used to shoot news with, was in fact there. I'm going to double check that, but I'm 99% sure it was called the Next News Network. He still kept that name. Mm-hmm. But I used to shoot news with him in 2013, 2014 in Aurora, Illinois, and we shot news segments with a teleprompter and everything. And Gary, I understand, my former colleague, was there at that media summit with
the president,
or at least met him during it.
Yeah.
And I'll confirm that for a future broadcast. But so people with our kind of voice are getting in there, and President Trump is open to that.
Right.
See, this is what's really encouraging here, along with his movement toward an American determined, America first foreign policy, not total isolationism, not total interventionism, but what the globalists themselves are calling a Jacksonian nuanced approach.
Right. Yeah, because America's been too much on the defensive with things. You know, to use kind of an analogy is, even when it comes to the tariffs against China and the different things that we're seeing, is that everybody gets upset about that we're in a trade war, that we're in, a, you know, we're, it's not a trade war. It's anything but. It's finally, you know, not letting America be whipped anymore, but getting America back out there in this global economy. And the analogy I was going to use is, even if you take a basketball game, well, you could have the greatest defensive, or football game, you know, football team, whatever. You could have a great defensive team that would prevent the other ones from the other team from scoring points. But if you can't put any points up on the board, then what good is it? And finally, I believe that's what we're seeing is, where it seems defensive. It seems, you know, but it's very strategic, but it puts us in an offensive position. We're finally now we can get back into the game.
The best defense is a good offense.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I would put a capstone on what you said, Jason, by pointing out that the points on the board is the tariff revenue going into our treasury.
Exactly.
And that's to the tune of billions of dollars. That doesn't happen very much, ladies and gentlemen. I've covered Capitol Hill. I still have press credentials there for American Free Press. I've listened to a lot of long discussions in committee meetings, hours and hours, while the mainstream media people were playing solitaire. I was covering these things.
Yeah.
And listening to the fact that the U.S. would run these and has run for decades, these huge trade deficits that were backdoor foreign aid, because that's a trade surplus on the Chinese side of the ledger. A deficit for them, surplus, a deficit for the United States, excuse me, a surplus for China. Their side of the ledger, that's backdoor foreign aid, billions and billions of dollars. How do you think they built their Navy? By selling goods in America far beyond what they import from America to sell there.
Exactly. That's right.
That's how they built their Navy.
Yeah.
And that's enabled them to build their gulag system. They can defray the costs of putting dissidents away that challenge their totalitarian beehive collectivist mindset.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing is here you have NBA players and the media not coming to even the defense of the people that are being treated and mistreated in China. Talk about the level of torture. And, I mean, you know, everybody, the media's up in arms about same-sex marriage and gay rights and transgender and all the different freedoms and things. Over in China, you're going to be tortured. You're going to be thrown in jail. You may never be seen again, most likely. And if you're working in one of these compounds that is owned by the military in these warehouses and manufacturing plants, you're going to be in a compound. And as the way you put it, Mark, so right on and spot on is, you don't work to live, you live to work.
That's correct. And so by not having tariffs, like the internationalists and the leftists and the media argue, what they're actually going to bring about is a situation where we allow China to keep having a huge surplus. They leverage that money for their totalitarian state and building their military. And we lose money that would otherwise be going into our treasury. But you put up the tariff, so best defense is a good offense, and then we have money coming in, fewer goods being sold here, more stuff being made here, more income and spending power here. China has to curl their tail a little bit and settle down a little bit and behave a little more, perhaps, at least in the South China Sea and some of their naval maneuvers.
Right.
Maybe not their internal policies. That's very, very secretive.
Yeah.
But then Trump has also made North Korea at least somewhat manageable. And he needs China to help with that.
Right.
And I think he's using that as leverage. Just like he's used better relations with Russia. Russia, in turn, is an ally of Syria. That's going to help keep Turkey in check. You don't want to take on the Russian army.
Yeah.
They are a lean, mean fighting machine. They're not depleted by all this interventionism that the U.S. has been involved in. Right. They are tough and they are professional. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So Turkey's not going to throw their weight around too much with Russia as an ally of Syria. And then the U.S. being on better relations with Russia so as to make that all work and to make the pullout of our troops more successful.
Right.
Because Russia's got Syria's back, and then that prevents this long-term plan announced by Wesley Clark, former head of NATO, General Wesley Clark, I believe he was a general, when he said that there were seven nations that the neocons wanted to take out, Iran, Iraq, Libya, and down the list.
Right.
Well, one of them was Syria. Trump put his foot right in the way and said, nothing doing. We're not going to have this nation-building, taking down one nation after another as part of some big neocon plan. I'm not going to stand for it. And that is a tremendous accomplishment. I believe we're reading this right. I'll be the first to apologize if we don't, but I believe we're reading that right, that he put an end to that long-term neocon plan of the neoconservative faction, the war party wing of the Republicans, to have these seven nations taken out. They destroyed Libya. They made a shambles of Iraq. And down the list, but he's saying, Syria, I'm not going to let you do it.
Yeah.
And that's another way that he prevents a potential World War III.
Yeah.
So very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, that's why I was even thinking, you know, because when he allowed Syria and kind of pulled out the troops there in Syria and allowed the Turks and the Kurds, so to speak, you know, kind of go at it as almost what would you call a schoolyard fight, you know, and let them kind of fight it out amongst themselves. But I just wonder how much that flushed out this terrorist. I mean, there's other details, obviously, and facts that we don't know necessarily about some of these things where, you know, what that may have helped flush him out so we were able to get better intel on his location and where he was. So, you know, and that's the thing is, unfortunately, too many people are quick to judge. My goodness, we've been in war. We've been in the Middle East for now how many years? How many decades is it going on to? I mean, my goodness, somebody's got to. So, you know, at least we could give Trump credit for, hey, let's look at it. Let's evaluate it. Let's stop being manipulated and controlled by the UN and being told what to do. And let's take control of our nation. And I think that's very, very critical and strategic for our country.
Yeah, we got about 1 minute till the ads at the bottom of the hour, maybe a little more than 1 minute. And I would also add in this first half hour of the show that he has long said, even when he was a candidate and in the early days of his presidency, that if NATO wants to keep having a mandate to exist, the member nations all have to pay their required, for the first time in their lives, their required 2% GDP toward the maintenance of NATO. The U.S. is not going to be, like with the IMF, paying the lion's share of the subscriptions and the financial support.
Right.
He's saying no more. So look at that. We're finally going to have tariffs against China's legendary surpluses that they've been leveraging.
Right.
We're finally going to not have to pay the lion's share of the bill for NATO. NATO has to justify itself, all the members.
Yeah.
And he's creating a situation, even in Ukraine, we can talk about this more later, where it's far less likely that Ukraine will be a powder keg that would also ignite another world war. Just like we said, he's pulling back on the situation in Syria in such a way where that is less likely to become a World War III powder keg.
Right.
So in two different areas that I see it, and we can detail this more later in today and in other shows, he's making World War III less likely and trying to make everyone pay their fair share. And it's pretty amazing. And again, the main message today is don't jump to conclusions. You may not always like the outcomes, but first find out, wait a few days, maybe it takes a week or two, find out what the real outcomes are.
Exactly.
And we can all, as Americans, you and I, Jason, those listening live and on the archive and watching, we can figure this out together.
Yeah.
No more mainstream media telling us what to think. We're going to think for ourselves, just like Trump is saying America is going to fight for itself.
Yeah. And finally, finally, I would say this too, is that where you have these politicians, they're not the ones pocketing from this.
Absolutely. And we'll be back with more after these messages.
Incomplete capacity, strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity, charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So getthetea.com, that's getthetea.com for super strength tea, and YouTube, Health Matters Now, that's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. Getthetea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And coming to you live for the second half of today's show. Yes, you heard that correctly, ladies and gentlemen. I'm coming to you live, your host to Stop the Presses here on RepublicBroadcasting.org, Mark Anderson. The first half was a bit of a rerun from Monday, and that was Jason Mangum of World Impact News and I. Stop the Presses and Win have formed a partnership, and that was a show where we were making podcasts and a video at the same time as we did the radio show. So think of that as sort of an ad for the first half hour. Now, on the second half hour today, live now, the 30th of October, 2019, I have field correspondent for Stop the Presses and videographer Ron Avery, and he's on the scene. He's on the scene at the Texas State Capitol in Austin, where the State Senate Select Committee on Mass Violence Prevention and Community Safety has had a long hearing today. It went from 10 a.m. well into the afternoon. How's it going, Ron?
Oh, pretty good, Mark. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for working with me on short notice to get a field report here, to get something on the scene on the day. And let's just straight away, what are you taking away from this? Was it what you expected? Was it different? And what are you taking away? What is the main thing you saw? Has it concluded for today, for one thing?
No, it's still going on, but it's winding down. It is... it finally got to the two-minute talks that each individual could do from the community, from the public. The others, see, they had guest speakers,
yes.
Panels. They had two panels, and they took up most of the time. That, so it was really the state listening to the state. And even though they called it a public hearing, it was the state bringing in state officials and listening to state officials.
Or state-approved or state-sanctioned stuff. Were you among those two-minute talks or not?
Yes, I did get to. I think I was the fourth speaker, yes.
I guess then we'll start with, what did you tell them?
Well, in 2 minutes, you can't tell them a whole lot. It was just a good thing that I had 2 pages of written material that I submitted as well, that had the real content to it. You know, you can't explain something about mass shootings and the cause of it in on a bumper sticker, and neither can you do it in a two-minute thing. And it is kind of irritating because I've been to this isn't the first public hearing I've been to put on by state reps, and they always do that. They load it up with panels of people they want to hear from anyway, and many of them are the state or people they just particularly like. And then even though they call it a public hearing, the people have to sit through all that stuff, and then they get a chance to say a little something. And of course, in 2 minutes, most people sound like idiots in 2 minutes. So it's like trying to, you know, summarize your life on a bumper sticker.
Yeah, it seems to me that everyone should be given at least 4 or 5 minutes. But what did you manage to say? I know the basic thrust of the committee meeting today here on the 30th of October was to talk about the purported causes of mass violence, mass shootings, what to do about it. There's been several of these reported mass shootings in Texas in recent times. What did you say in 2 minutes? And then you can go on and sort of give your view of the overall hearing.
Yeah, okay. Well, what I said was, and of course I went back and forth in my mind what I would do in 2 minutes, because there was a lot of material and I changed my mind often. But I also remembered that I personally have been called a terrorist on the front page of a major newspaper in Houston, and I sued them for libel. So I remembered that, and I went, well, you know, a good time to bring this up. We're talking about, and they were talking about extremist views and also the First Amendment, people's right of free speech and all of that. Well, when I used my right of free speech, I ended up being called a terrorist, worse than part of the right-wing terrorist conspiracy in America that's worse than Muslim terrorism. And when I sued them for libel, they used the Texas Citizens Participation Act to get rid of all my evidence and destroy my case. And so I told them that. And I said, don't believe the mass media on all these mass shootings, because they create terrorists, and I'm one of them. And I told them that. And then I also told them my relatives fought and died for the American Revolution. My relatives ran a cannon at the Battle of San Jacinto, and that I was America in Texas and not a terrorist. And and then I told them, of course, about there's a motive behind these mass shootings and their increase and their intensity. And it happens to be the State Department publication 7277, which calls for the complete and total disarmament of the American people. And I ran out of time, but so did the other speakers, and I went over a little bit, but I could tell they were especially agitated at my going over it just, you know, 4 or 5 seconds. But anyway, they were a little more tolerant of the others. They didn't tell the others to, you know, that's enough, you know. But anyway, I didn't mean to irritate them, and that wasn't my purpose, but I don't think they just, again, didn't like the message, so they didn't like the messenger.
So you put it in the let me understand the first part when you told them about what the Houston Chronicle, Hearst Communications did. What was the point you were trying to make? In other words, what did you want them to take from that?
Well, I turned it around a little bit. I didn't start with that. I told them, first of all, there was a motive behind these mass shootings and their increase and the increase of their intensity. And that was the stated program of the federal State Department in the document that calls for it. And then I said, don't believe everything you hear from mass media about mass shootings, because they create terrorists. And I know, because I am one of them, one of their creations. And so I was hoping that they would take that as somebody that with personal experience with being labeled something by the mass media and not be able to, you know, fix it. And hopefully they were going to, instead of just listening to somebody's opinion jabbering about something, I thought it would be, since I've done two pages, I did a full two pages of telling them exactly in detail what's going on with this stuff. I decided just to give them something of personal experience and how would, hoping they would think, boy, I'm glad I wasn't labeled a terrorist, cause, and I sue them for libel and I can't go in and won't win the case.
So you were trying to get them to see the bigger picture, and you're hoping and expecting they'll read the written material you submitted in order to get the full gist of what you were saying, but you were trying to give them the big headlines, the overall summation of it, that number one, the mass shootings are being carried out or at least exploited or, you know, leveraged for justifying carrying out the Freedom From War document, which is a UN document in conjunction with the State Department, number 7277. You wanted to get that point across, and you wanted to get the point across that you are a you know, law-abiding Seguin citizen, a Texas citizen, was easily labeled by the media as a would-be terrorist, and that you cannot once the media labels you, you can't get that label off. Because you can't sue for libel because the courts are so biased. This is what you were trying to get them to understand, I assume.
Yeah, and if I can become a terrorist just by them printing it in the newspaper, anybody else can too. And okay, so now we're just going to, whatever the news media says, that's the fact. You know, there you are. And we can't have that. I mean, we can't live in a country where just the media gets to tell you what you are, and one minute you're a nice, upstanding citizen, and the next minute you're a terrorist.
Yeah, indeed. And that goes hand in hand, does it not, Ron, with this notion that we're seeing in police dramas, throughout the scripts they write for TV shows, fictional shows based on so-called fact. In our papers, in our news reports on TV, we're seeing this notion that don't think for yourself, only listen to authority, and that authority includes the mass media cartel. Don't make up your own mind. Don't do your own research. Don't try and be a sleuth or anything. Just listen to what the authorities and the powers that be say. Who they define as a terrorist is a terrorist. What they define as truth is truth, which is, of course, right out of Orwell's diary. And this is what we're seeing now. Since part of today's State Senate Select Committee on Mass Violence Prevention and Community Safety, since the thrust of this was, you know, ideologies and extremist views and how that might influence violence, not just violent video games influencing kids, but something much broader. Since that was the actual topic concerning both the First and Second Amendments, beyond what you told the committee today at the Texas State Capitol, October 30, what's your take on others? I listened online for a little while to this guy who appeared to be a Scotsman. He appeared to be originally from Scotland. I guess he lives in New York. He appeared to be some kind of psychologist or psychiatrist. I didn't get his name. But what do you make of what he said or the overall proceedings today?
Okay, that man's name was Dr. Tal Braun, T-A-U, and his last name is B-R-A-U-N. And,
okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yes, and he was the executive director and violence prevention specialist of the Violence Prevention Agency, and he had two of his cohorts there. But yes, he flew in from New York to do this presentation. And the panel, I mean, he was not just a citizen speaker that you heard there. That's why he spoke for such a long time. He was part of panel number one, and he went on and on and on, and told stories that I thought one of the most interesting thing he said was that he has determined that there are three real forces that people react to, that they respond to prevent things like terror or, you know, harm to others, and that is the power of the church and the power of the state and the law and psychology. or social social, and he actually called it like psychology. I guess now we used to have church and state. Now we're going to have church, state, and psychiatry. So, you know, the church kind of controls people through its ideology and things, and the state kind of controls people through the law. Now, what is the psychologist going to control them through, and how would he have authority to intervene is what I want to know. But I guess what he's trying to say is he would like the state to inject and thrust psychology onto everybody. So what I actually envision from that is you end up with a mind police that determine what kind of mentality you have and whether that's a dangerous mentality or not.
Yeah, there's a lot of irony.
To me, all of this stuff is going in the wrong direction. It's just like you said, you're not supposed to figure out anything. You're not supposed to make any associations. You're not supposed to figure out anything. Everything is just nutcases and how to stop nutcases, as if it's impossible for a nutcase to get into government and join up with other nutcases so that you have a nutcase government. And that's really the last thing I said at the hearing, is I ended up with, it's not always the people that are out of control. In this case, it's the government out of control. And that we've adopted these extremist views, and an extremist view is one of disarmament. Well, I did tell them, too, that it's against the law to murder people, and it's also against the law to disarm people. I said, why do we tolerate people that advocate disarmament of the people any more than we tolerate people that advocate the murder of people?
I listened to Mr. Braun, if I'm saying his name right, the guy that flew in from New York, and on the one hand, yeah, agreeably, he said, you know, we shouldn't just look at guns and bullets. You know, we get hung up on that. There's so many other factors. People can kill with arson. People can kill with knives. People can kill with bricks. In fact, homicides involving non-firearm homicides tend to outnumber homicides that involve firearms. And he cited all those things. And I suspect those are all factual. I think they mostly are. But nevertheless...
Let me clarify one thing. He wasn't there making a big case against firearms. He made that really clear, and even so did the senators. They said this wasn't a pro-gun thing or anti-gun thing. That they were just truly trying to find out what the cause is of mass shootings. And but yet you could still tell, even though that's what they were trying to do, they still wanted it to stay in the box that the mass media has created, that it's just these weirdos that acts up and does this stuff. And I don't believe that's always the case. I believe there's an agenda behind it. I told them I called it disarmament terrorism, and there are people behind that, and the media is in on it in some cases, and they're lying about some of these mass shooting deals.
And your written material will no doubt explain that more. That's a pretty bold thing to tell these people that think along much more conventional terms. You know what I got out of the Mr. Braun, or if I'm saying his name right again, the Scottish sounding guy, while I agreed with his, you know, summary that we shouldn't get, you know, fixated on firearms and blame them for everything and ammunition and all that, and we shouldn't demonize weapons and, you know, use consumer protection laws against gun makers and ammunition makers like we do child car seats or something, because there's fundamental differences and problems with that. But one of the things that I got out of what he was saying was that, and if you listen to a lot of these people that are like him, they speak as if man is purely a material being. That if we only alter people's brain chemistry with medication, if we only get, and he talked about getting MRIs of people that might be dangerous, you might recall that, get brain scans of people that might be dangerous, get MRIs, you know, get these medical profiles. And I'm not saying not ever to do that. There may be cases and instances when that might be deemed necessary. But what you notice is that they're trying to live in a post-Christian order. They're trying to live as if Christly or biblical morality is outmoded, irrelevant, or completely off the page. What we have here ultimately is a moral problem. If someone does in fact decide to shoot a room full of people up, that is first and foremost a moral failure. And that moral failure is societal at large. It's not just the moral failure of the individual. It's we're trying to go into a post-biblical new world order, a godless world, and it's not working.
Well, Dr. Braun actually admitted that. In a way, he admitted it, not directly, but he did it indirectly.
I didn't hear his whole talk, so go on. Yeah.
Yeah, I said it used to be that the church controlled people, or that the morality of the church could control people. So he's saying that in past tense. And he's saying that's part of the problem, is that the church has no more impact in the world. And apparently the state doesn't have a lot either with that. But there's another problem with the state, and that's when it becomes involved in these things itself and covers things up and won't let people find out what really went on. And, you know, that one of the things they talked about in this hearing was the wearing of masks. To intimidate others, what impact that was on people, and what did that have to do with the inciting of violence and engagement in the criminal activity? And some of these officers that were there talked about the use of masks. But in my paper that I submitted to them, I also used the same thing. What happens when the state uses a mask? They redact everything. Here's a shooting where everybody's advocating the disarmament of the American people, and which is a violation of the law based on these shootings, and then they redact everything. So you can't actually prove the shooting actually took place.
At the very least, they're not presenting the evidence to explain what happened, and therefore some people assume that something very different happened, and that includes those that claim these shootings are a complete or partial hoax. Yes, that is an excellent point. The police want tinting on their car windows, but they don't want us to have any tinting on our car windows. They don't want us to see what they're doing, but they want to see everything that we're doing. They want to black out everything, but then they get nervous when citizens wear masks. But if a SWAT team shows up with masks on, that's okay. And
well,
besides,
you know, the very good point. In fact, one of the senators, I think it was Saffarini, she said she asked them a question: has any of those mass shooters ever used a mask? And well, the guy said he didn't know, but I happen to have known, because one of the witnesses at the Parkland shooting said that she saw what looked like a cop with a full metal gear on and a helmet with a mask and all of that spraying up the hall with bullets, and one of the bullets hit her in the arm. Well, that's actually a witness account. Well, but it was dressed like a cop. I mean, yeah, well, you know, what does all that mean? You don't hear the mass media talking about that.
Yeah, where did that witness go? Why was that witness's testimony disregarded? Why were we given the narrative that it was another disgruntled school kid that barely looks like he could operate a toaster, and yet he carried out a sophisticated shooting without a mask? The only mask I remember is Columbine, Colorado, back in 1999, supposedly those shooters, and that was another sketchy story, were masked. And the only masked people are Antifa, and Antifa are the far left wing. They're not the easy neo-Nazi target of right-wing extremists, so they don't want to talk about the fact that it's the far left people, Antifa. If anyone's wearing a mask, it's them. And see, they want their boogeyman to always be on the right, not on the left. So they talk about masks, but they don't talk about the obvious fact that the mass troublemakers in most instances are Antifa, anti-right-wing people, pro-communist, pro-Marxist people. And possibly with George Soros' clandestine funding behind him in some instances. And so, you know, that's kind of a false flag in itself. So, yeah, you're seeing this distortion. We got about maybe 2-3 minutes. Any other summarizing remarks, Ron?
Not right offhand. I am glad I went to it, and I'm glad I turned the material in, and I'm glad we did the show on it. And also, you might tell them to look at our website.
Yes, go ahead.
Lawfulgovernment.com. We'll have more information on that. And also, we might want to do something live stream. But we'll put all of that stuff on lawfulgovernment.com. So it'll be easier to find there.
Now, the live stream of today's hearing at the Austin State Capitol, we'll be able to get the archive link to their live stream and post that at lawfulgovernment.com. Am I assuming correctly that's possible?
That's right. Yeah, and also my two-page paper I submitted is already posted there. You have to go to Citizens Armed Against Tyranny. It's SCAT, Sovereign Citizens Armed Against Tyranny. So you go to lawfulgovernment.com/SCAT.html, and on the left-hand menu under Task and Tools, you'll see the two-page paper I put up today.
And SCAT is S-C-A-A-T?
That's correct.
S-C-A-A-T, ladies and gentlemen, lawfulgovernment.com. Check it out. We've shot with Ron, in conjunction with Ron, Stop the Presses has gotten its own video footage of the San Antonio Municipal mass shooting town hall meetings. We captured 2 out of 3 of those. Those are at livestream.com/Ron Avery. You can just scan through the different video selections. Again, livestream.com/Ron Avery and lawfulgovernment.com now that we're dealing with the state ones, now that we've moved beyond the municipal hearings. Last comment, Ron. Do you think anything really purposeful yet has come out of this meeting? I know they're not quite done yet, or they're just wrapping up. Do you see anything constructive coming out of this?
I actually don't. I think this is a very sluggish, and most of the meeting was it was all interesting data, but very little of it generated anything that would be useful, I believe, in what they do, other than more clamping down on people's rights and liberty. That's about all.
Thank you, Ron Avery, for giving us a live report from the Texas State Capitol today on this Senate Select Committee on Mass Violence Prevention and Community Safety meeting. We'll see everybody next time on Stop the Presses. Johnny Delirious will cover for me Friday, bringing his important health information forward. Thanks again, Ron, for this on-the-scene report. Really cutting-edge stuff, and we'll see everybody next time. Have a great evening.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.